The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholic, as we'd like to call it, the Sports Talk Revolution. We are proud partners of Underdog Media. You can also find us on Podcast One. You are listening, as usual, to Sean, Ryan, and Sam Van Dam. Sam, what's going on, man?
What up, man?
Not much, just another week of the grind, as they say.
Another week of the grind, as now,
Yeah, this week is a little bit easier on Mr. Ryan, talking about myself in the third person there. It was a little bit easier week, man. So, like, now that I'm basically self-employed, you know, I'm trying to figure out what that means in terms of my schedule, and because, you know, my wife's a big dog, big wig at her work. So she goes out and she, you know, earns pretty much. She brings home the bacon for the family at this point, which is great. And and I'm basically taking care of the kids for kind of half the day. So I was struggling with it for the first couple of weeks of this, and then I kind of have gone into like a flow or something. You know, I got my routine down, and so basically every morning from like 8 to 10 in the morning, it's basically just daddy daughter time. So today we put together a puzzle while I was answering some emails and everything, but I kind of figured out that if I just use the the at home alone with the kids time as kind of brainstorming or answering email, then I can end up, making up time on the weekends and working late and stuff. So, like, for instance, last night I worked until, I don't know, maybe like 12 or 1 in the morning doing, lead generation, advertising stuff on Google, Facebook, all that stuff. So I can kind of basically skew my hours, but my traditional work hours, those things are of the past now.
Right. Well, I mean, think about it too, man. It goes quick, and you're going to look back on this time and be like, hey, man, that was great that I was able to spend that much time with them, you know, while they were that young.
Yeah, like, so. I'm somebody who has an above average memory or kind of a freakish memory of being able to remember things when I was like a toddler and like 2 years old and stuff. Like, I can remember back that far, like, vividly. And I can remember like hanging out with like my parents when I was a toddler, and like I remember like when I was like 2 or 3 years old watching Good Morning America, you know, Joan London and Chuck Gibson or whatever his name was, and it was cool. And my mom and I would do like, you know, crafts, and we would make stuff, we'd make cookies and all that. So that stuff was fun. So I get that time to do that with my kids, and it's pretty cool. So I just I find that like I get like a little freaked out and stressed out if I'm trying to do stuff when I have them. But as long as I mentally just like, I'm not going to get anything done, it's usually okay. As long as they aren't screaming at me. If they scream at me, all bets are off. But
No, I got you.
No, they're all pretty good. So for this episode, what are we? We're about 3 or 4 minutes into the show now. Let me just say, I think this is going to be a shorter episode. I don't really have a lot of NFL to talk about. I do want to get into the finals with you, Sam, now that we have our matchup. I think the last time we talked, we were going into game 6 that night, the last time we talked, of the Eastern Conference Finals. So I do want to talk a little bit wider about Toronto and Golden State, and then talk a little bit about game 1 since we're recording this on Friday morning. Also, you know, just to kind of lead in, although I'm not going to talk about the NFL, I will say that I did get the book published, everybody. So everybody out there who's kind of a follower and a reader of me, you kind of know the drill. Unfortunately for everybody, we are now into the season where I'm shamelessly promoting myself and my book weekly, but let me just make this quick. Okay, so it's called the Fantasy Football Almanac, 2019 Fantasy Football Almanac and Draft Guide. It's available via Amazon for the next week, basically through Father's Day. It's going to be available for cheaper. Right now it's at $8.99, although by the time you're picking this up, I probably will have increased it to $9.99. That is cheaper than all of the other reputable guides out there. Then after Father's Day, I'm probably going to increase it to $12.99 or $11.99. I haven't settled on price. Probably $12.99 because that's about what the market is. But what's different about me is I give full off-season advice. So basically, when everybody else publishes their book in June, that's it. They set it and forget it. You can't get any more information unless you give them, like, you know, $5 a month for more information and updated rankings. I think that's garbage and stupid. So what I do is, if you buy the book, I have a promo code inside that book, and I give you not only updated rankings, but you have a direct pipeline to me. You can bounce ideas off me. You can send me your roster. You can send me after the draft, you know, who's on the waiver wire, get my analysis for those. It's completely interactive. Last year, you know, we sold thousands of copies. We were a number one seller on Amazon. I anticipate that same thing again this year. But, you know, out of all those, like, thousands of copies, I only had like 150 to 200 people sign up for the email updates. Again, it's completely free. And everybody that signed up for the update, I sent them an email and let them know that the book was on extreme sale for them. So they all got their guide in cheaper. So if you sign up for the list, it's no obligation. It's completely free. I give you free off-season updates. I watch every single preseason game to try to glean some insights to put more value into it. I monitor the average draft position to optimize basically your draft boards, identify sleepers, people who are completely undervalued. You know, like a guy, for example, this year, spoiler alert, I love Larry Fitzgerald in the system this year. He's being drafted way too low. Although I have him high in my rankings, I suggest you take him in a certain round because you're going to be a round or two earlier than your competition. But, you know, you're not going to be drafting him too early, so you get more good players on your roster. So all that value is included in that cheap price in the book. So if you're looking for a guide, trust me, man, I spent a lot. It's a little unhealthy how much time I spend preparing for the fantasy football season. So don't be unhealthy. Don't be a bad husband or father or mother or wife. Just let me take the brunt of that pain, and then we can just bounce ideas off of each other. So there you go. There's the quick plug.
I love it, man. These people, you know, if they hate money, then I guess don't buy.
I know. And then,
you
also
know, if you don't want to gloat and win your fantasy league, then you know, just it's not for you. But the coolest, you want to get money and you want to win, do it.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you. So we had Gooch. He used the book against me last year in the fantasy draft. It was funny. He won our league. I had a lady, you know, one of the people that kind of reached out and signed up for the updates. She was in a two quarterback league, which is kind of rare. She used my guide, which wasn't even optimized for two quarterback leagues, though I will be optimizing it for that this year. Had never played fantasy football before. Didn't know who the players were. Used my guide. Followed the draft selections in the draft tiers. Just from that, and she got into the finals in her league and won some money, beat her husband down too. So, and my wife used it, by the way, and this is funny. My wife used it, and my wife will play in, like, you know, a wives league of all my friends, and she used the guide, and she picked the wrong David Johnson. I guess there was some kind of, like, tight end for some other team or something. So in the third round, she completely, like, biffed it and picked, David Johnson, like, that didn't even exist, basically, in fantasy circles. So completely wasted her third-round pick by picking the wrong guy. And that's something I've cleaned up for this year. I put team names next to the names. And then she does something which I don't suggest. She always likes to draft a quarterback high. So, I mean, basically, she does that. She didn't follow the manual exactly, but she followed outside of those two things. She followed it, and she won her league, won a bunch of money. So, it works, man. It works. Even if you're a beginner, it works, you know. And like I said, you can always email me directly with that promo code, and you have that direct pipeline right to the horse's mouth. It's a revolution, Sam.
It is, man. I'm on it. I'm on it, man.
Yeah.
I'm with it.
Everybody who's with it wins their leagues. What can I say? So anyway, let's get out of plug zone. Let's get into sports talk zone. So what do you think, man? Toronto. So I can't remember. I know I've gotten the Eastern Conference wrong all year. I can't remember. So, you know, please, if you're a listener, you know, tweet me. I'm at @TFS_Sean. If I'm wrong on this, please let me know. You know, I don't remember, but I think I actually took Toronto in game six last week. But that just might be selective memory. I might take a Milwaukee.
I believe you did.
Yeah. I think that's the first pick in the Eastern Conference I got right all year, if I didn't indeed get it right. So, you know, I'm not plugging my NBA abilities in the Eastern Conference this year. Western Conference, I was pretty good. Eastern Conference, man, it was a CF all year. But Yeah, so like Toronto took it home. I think Milwaukee. I mean, what do you think? Let's just talk about that series. What do you think? Like, what happened in Milwaukee? I mean, they won those first two games, and then they just kind of shrunk in the moment. That's kind of what I saw. But you're the bigger expert. What did you see?
Well, I mean, you know, Toronto's defense played a huge part in that. They made good adjustments, and the people they went and got, you know, and the experience that, you know, some of these players have, really helped them. Marc Gasol being one, just, you know, just from a defensive, you know, point, he's been a big help for them. And, you know, Kawhi Leonard basically took over. I mean, Toronto, you know, Toronto is a really, really good team, as we saw in that, you know, we saw in all the other series, and we saw, you know, even last night in the first game of the finals. But, you know, I think Milwaukee is, you know, I think they'll be better for it, and they'll be better next year now that they have some deep playoff experience going into it. And Giannis will get better, and you know, they're going to be around for a while.
So I was talking with Brad on the Get Paid podcast this week. I won't refer people that listen to both shows. I won't spend too much time rehashing the story. But I basically said, you know, Brad was just like, you know, I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, Giannis, he's that one star, and, you know, Milwaukee kind of shrunk. But again, you know, Brad's not the NBA and basketball expert that you are. But we're just kind of, you know, talking about it. And I said,
right,
here's my theory. Because, you know, having lived through those Magic teams, Sam, that we lived through for a number of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember, you know, people, everybody just kind of standing around watching McGrady, and Orlando could never really get him a good running mate. I remember the Dwight Howard years where, you know, Dwight Howard was never really an NBA scorer. He was more of a defensive player and rebounder, I think. You know, he'd put up 20 points, but really, I mean, he had the physical talent to put up like 30 or 40. I always thought he'd never really reached his potential in offensively. But, you know, basically he was like the one star, and they could never really surround him with anything. And I said, you know, Milwaukee, you know, it's hard to find another star like that. And I think they have a good supporting cast. But my theory on this is that I said that I watch basically, it's called The Challenge on MTV. It's a garbage show. And I watched it this season, and they did this whole like War of the Worlds thing. Mm-hmm. And they had this guy from Turkey on, and I looked at him. I thought, that's a guy who's been through some stuff in his life. He's going to win this whole thing. Because it basically, this whole challenge is like, it's a bunch of entitled losers basically just screaming and getting drunk and yelling at each other. This guy who's been through some real world stuff was on the show. And like, he was training, the whole show he was training for this like finals and all this stuff. And he was just beating up on everybody. And I was like, this dude's going to win the finals. You know, and it's a little political show, so you either have the votes, you don't, all that stuff. Well, anyway, they get to the finals, he ends up winning the show. And this is my theory, is like, you know, when you have a star like this and you have a good team makeup, I think you need some people that don't shrink in the moment. And so you need to find some people that have been through some stuff in their life, and they're not scared of anything. That's why I always liked actually Tobias Harris, to me. It's like Tobias Harris has the, like, he's not somebody who's heralded. I know he's going to probably get max money this year, but he's a guy that's just like, he's a guy that doesn't care. You know, he's not intimidated by, I remember like LeBron, like they played LeBron in like in a playoffs or something one year. And he's like, I don't care about LeBron. I'm good. You know, what do I care about him? He's just another guy on the court. And I think you need some of that mentality where it's just like, hey, you know, I'm an NBA player too. You know,
right.
I don't care about these guys. I'm not too small for the moment. I'll rise up to it. And I think that maybe that's a little bit of what Milwaukee needed.
Yeah. And I mean, that's exactly what Toronto has. You know,
exactly.
Kawhi literally doesn't care about anything but basketball. He doesn't care about being a star. He doesn't care about anything else. He just wants to play basketball, and he's very, very good at it.
And he plays two ways, man. Like he's
he plays two ways, and we haven't seen a guy play two ways like this in a really long time. That he's just as effective on the offense as he is on defense, and vice versa, and you know, the fact that he pretty much is just a robot out there and, you know, just takes care of business. It's fun to watch.
Yeah. So I've always felt like Kawhi was, you know, a really good player, obviously, like a top five player, obviously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, watching these playoffs, it's just like, you know, just his impact defensively on top of what he can do offensively and take over the game. Like even me, like he's ascended, you know, I don't know. Maybe this is another show. Maybe we can rank our top 10 NBA players or something like this. But You know, I don't know where I'd put them, but I guess like if we start talking about the finals now, Golden State had, I don't want to say struggled with, because everybody did, but with LeBron, like LeBron basically imposing his will. And we saw, like, you know, Kawhi didn't even have a great offensive game last night, you know, compared to Kawhi's standards.
Right.
Like, the dude, like, impacted the game everywhere. And the one, I think, weakness, again, not weakness because it's Golden State, but, you know, if they've had a star, they've shown that, you know, one person can assert their will and kind of screw everything up. And I don't know why that is, because they're so good at team basketball, but it just doesn't seem like they have a lockdown type defender. Maybe it's Durant, you know, when he's healthy or something, but
right.
You know, Kawhi kind of, you know, asserted his will without even doing, you know, the heavy offensive thing. But although you can't really devil's advocate here, you can't really count on it. Was it Siakam going 14 for 17 every game in the series? But what were your thoughts on game one?
Well, yeah, much like you said, I think the Warriors are in a good place. You know, I knew it was going to be a tough game for them to come out, and that's why home court was, I think, it's a big advantage, especially in the finals. And, you know, Canada, you know, Toronto, they've never been in this position before to have a basketball team like this. The whole nation is basically behind them, and there's, I think there was like 100 movie theaters or something letting people in throughout the country for free to watch games in theaters. And, you know, there's 7 million people in Toronto, and they said about 7 million people were either outside the city or, you know, at the game. So, and the Warriors still were very, very close up until the end. And that's with Siakam playing the best game he's ever played in his life.
But you have to be encouraged by that if you're Toronto. Now,
you do. I like Toronto, and also, you know, Kawhi didn't play. You know, he didn't have a 40-point game, and Kyle Lowry didn't hit any shots, which, you know, comes and goes. But the best player in the league is still out right now. And probably, you know, coming back hopefully game three or four. I just want to see this series go long. I want to see it be a dogfight.
I hope so.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting.
Hi, I'm sports broadcaster Anne Marie Anderson.
I'm Olympian Holly McPeak.
We're both former athletes, businesswomen, and mothers, and we want to help you create the life you want using sports like a boss.
Whether you're an athlete, entrepreneur, or parent, we want to help you get to where you want to be.
Well, good, because I either got too many kids or I'm overscheduled, overwhelmed. Honestly, Holly, half the time I feel like I'm screwing it up.
Well, that's why we created this podcast, to help get coaching, parenting, and the whole sports culture back on track.
We've got a big network of people, elite athletes like you, Holly, entertainers, experts. We're going to find out what works for them and what doesn't, so that you handle sports like a boss.
We were texting a little bit last night,
mm-hmm.
and we talked. First of all, I said immediately, I was kind of texting you. I asked if you're watching, because it was relatively late. I figured you were, and you were.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, finally, a team that runs down the freaking shot clock when they're up by a bunch of possessions at the end of the game, instead of chucking balls up at 14 seconds left on the shot.
Yeah, they're smart. They're smart. It was a smart team, man.
Right. I mean, there's just, you know, a basic mechanism of winning games, right? It's a math equation. You get 24 seconds. You're up by 5 possessions. That's 120 seconds. That's 2 full minutes that you can hang on to the ball. Not even take a – if they're not going to foul you, you don't even have to take a shot.
Right.
You can milk 2 minutes off the clock if they don't foul you. Right?
Right,
and
right.
So what was Toronto doing? They were milking it to about 5 seconds. They weren't taking the best shots in the world, but they were milking it down to about 5 seconds and then chucking it up. And I think Van Fleet hit like a crazy bank off the rim kind of three-pointer in one of those shots.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just it. And I think actually Lowry, maybe one of the shots he did hit was like a three at the end of the game. That really – I think it was iced before then, but it certainly was a dagger. And, I mean, it's just smart. And I don't see a lot of teams do it. Like, and I think I actually texted this to you too. It's the anti-Westbrook, basically. It's the anti-Oklahoma City.
Right.
You know, you're up by 10 points. How are you going to blow it? Well, let me try to chuck up a bad three-pointer with 17 seconds left on the shot clock. And then, you know, Steph Curry comes down and hits a three-pointer in like 6 seconds. And they weren't doing that. And not only were they running the shot clock down, but Toronto was basically running Steph Curry off the three-point line. I mean, like, they were not giving him a chance, not even deep threes. I mean, they just weren't giving him a chance late in the game to really ice that. And so Golden State was taking their twos, and they were just basically going, you know, 2 for 2, 2 for 3, and those kinds of things. And it was just too much to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, their defense really, you know, they did, I think they did a great job on Clay and Steph. And, you know, but like I said, I think the Warriors are, you know, they're not really too worried about this. And like what I texted you last night was, this is a tough game to bring Boogie back, and I don't think he looked terrible. But I know it probably messed up kind of the rotations a little bit. And for a guy that first off was coming back from a, you know, an Achilles injury in the middle of the year anyways, and then now coming back from this, that's a tough game to throw him out to, because he doesn't have the, you know, doesn't have the support of the crowd, and he's still trying to get his legs under him. So I feel like that was a tough move. I understand, you know, why Kerr did it, but it'd be interesting to see what they do with his minutes in game two.
Yeah, I see him. I pulled up his stats right now. So he had Cousins had 8 minutes, 0-for-2 field goals, 0-for-1 from three, 3-for-4 in free throws, 2 assists, 2 steals. And a turnover. I agree with you, though. I mean, like, we talked about this earlier in the season, is the Cousins dynamic there. It just, you know, it's nice, but he's not like, you know, a piston in the engine. He's just, you know,
right.
You know, he's maybe like premium unleaded gasoline or something. Like, you know, he's just a nice add-on, but he's not what makes the car go. And the team was just so dominant in the Western Conference Finals. Although they were playing Portland, it's not like they were dominating through. But the team chemistry of the old Warriors is kind of there. I agree with you. I thought it was kind of an odd move to bring him back there and not wait and just see if the other team chemistry was ready to roll. But at the same time, you know, we're only saying this because they lost. If they ended up winning,
right?
You know, and you know, if he went, you know, 10 minutes, you know, 4-for-5, you know, from the field, right, then we wouldn't be saying it. And it's Steve Kerr. I mean, you give him the benefit of the doubt. But I agree. I mean, from a chemistry point of view, I don't love it. I didn't love the move, but it is what it is. But what's the latest on Durant? Is he going to come back in, like, game three or something?
They're saying 4 is most likely. But, I mean, I could see him coming back. I think it depends what the series is at. And, you know, what he feels comfortable with. You know, I think if he feels like, you know, if Golden State gets this next game in Toronto and then they get their next game, you know, they'll be sitting pretty happy. Yeah. You know, because it's not a series until somebody beats somebody on their home court. So we'll see. And I think maybe that's kind of why he brought Boogie back, is because he's like, well, I don't want to bring him back in game 3 or 4 and bring Durant back. So let's slowly start, you know, and he passed the ball well. He was moving okay, but it was just, you know, I think that was Steve Kerr saying, you know what, this is probably a game we could lose, you know, most likely. Let's see what we got. And you know, right up until the end, we were texting, like, you know, it was still close.
Yeah, I just got, I thought, you know, because of the way Toronto was milking the shot clock, I was like, okay, Toronto's going to win the game because they're not playing stupid, right?
Right.
And Golden State, I think, gets a lot of stolen games because teams will throw up bad shots before they should, and Golden State can get hot so quick. So I was kind of like, I tuned in, like I was kind of just ready. Or I was tuned in, and I was ready for Golden State to kind of go on a run at the end of the game. But I ended up like texting you and saying, you know what, I think Golden State will lose by like 4 here. Like, they'll make a little run, but they didn't. You know, Toronto hit a couple of big baskets, and Golden State didn't. But, you know, as we go into game 2, I have to think that Golden State's going to win. I mean, I really do think this is a 5-game series. I hope it's a 6 or 7-game series. It'd be great, but... But, you know, again, you know, talking about Durant and when he's coming back, what we've seen in the past is when, you know, Golden State's gotten to the finals, and I'm just using the series, the couple series against LeBron, like LeBron's been able to push this Warriors team by himself when, you know, back before Durant got there. And so this, you know, the Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green thing, that's great, but you have Kawhi Leonard playing every bit as well as one, well, maybe not every bit as well, but pretty damn well and pretty close to what LeBron was able to play with, and his supporting cast is better. So, and they play good team basketball, which at defense, which is, you know, important. That's something I don't think LeBron ever had, really.
Right.
So, I mean, it's interesting. I think it's very possible that Toronto can be, you know, up 2-1 by the time Durant comes back in game four. It's very possible.
Yeah, I actually think this will go 6 or 7, just because they do have a superstar on that other side, and that's Kawhi Leonard, who as you pointed out, plays both sides so well. Whereas, you know, and they have smart basketball players. You know, that's what LeBron, you know, he didn't have a lot of in Cleveland. He had some guys that could hit every now and then, but he didn't have a ton of smart basketball players around him, you know, like J.R. Smith and, you know, Mo Williams and all that stuff, Delonte West. You know, they had some, you know, decent players, but, you know, obviously Kyrie's a good player and a smart basketball player. Insert your flat earth joke here.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for it.
Yeah.
But
smart basketball player, not a smart
But for a lot of those finals, you know, he didn't have Kevin Love or he didn't have Kyrie. There were a couple of them, you know, where they were injured and didn't play in the finals. So you see a team like Toronto that has a bunch of smart basketball players. It's going to be very hard for Golden State. This is going to be a true test for them. And if they, you know, if they pull this out, this would be one of their better wins on their resume, because this is a really good team.
Yeah, I'm looking, I'm looking at the splits here. So we were talking about kind of Kawhi affecting the court, even though he didn't have one of his, like, trademark, you know, offensive, you know, games that we saw a couple of those against Milwaukee. But let me just read you splits here from, I'll start with Golden State, actually. So, so Steph Curry was at, let's see, 8 of 18 shooting, 34 points, but while he was on the court, he was a -9. Which you don't see that too often. Klay Thompson, by the way, 21 points, was a -10. Now you scroll down to Toronto. Kawhi Leonard was 5 of 14, which I don't think we're going to get a lot of 5 of 14 games from Kawhi Leonard.
Right.
5 of 14, 23 points, plus 11 when he was on the court. So you're talking about impact, maybe not necessarily from points, but just everywhere on the court. He was plus 11 when he was on the court, right? That's a big deal. And Steph Curry with his 34 points was a -9. So, I mean, there's something going on defensively. You know, I know we're kind of an offensive, and even me in football, I always look to the offenses and what they can do. But, you know, they're playing good team basketball. And so I'm encouraged as a more casual NBA fan than you are. I'm not as maniacal as I am about the NFL as I am with the NBA. I just kind of tune in and I enjoy the games. I'm more encouraged that this is going to be kind of a fun series to watch, especially when Durant's out, because I do think Kawhi, we're going to get a 40-point game from Kawhi at some point.
And right.
If either Siakam or Gasol or Lowry, if somebody can just match that with a 25, they're probably going to win that game before Durant comes back. I say probably. I mean, probably like, you know, 60-40, because you never know what, I mean, Curry and Thompson could both go for 40 in the same game. You never know, but
yeah,
I feel good that Toronto's going to be able to come back to Toronto with a 2-2 series. That's what I'm hoping for as an NBA fan. Then we get an interesting Golden State. Can they win on the road and assert themselves in Toronto? Go back to Golden State. Is it going to be 3-2 or 2-3? It's cool, man. It's cool.
We'll see. Yeah, I'm just hoping for a good long series, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and I'm also hoping for less Drake. Is that possible? Can we get less?
Oh man, and you know what? I like Drake, like, you know, musically. You know, he's got some good stuff, but man, is there not a more annoying person?
Okay, I'm interested because, like, we were texting about this last week, and you're like, I'm going to defend Drake on this, but I think he's gone a little bit above and beyond for you now, and it's kind of swung you a little
bit.
Yeah,
man. Yeah, he's making it too much about himself.
That's my problem with it.
Yeah, like, I mean, I get it. Like, you know, he's an ambassador of the team and all that crap, and, you know, I get it, but, you know, like, I literally can't go on any social media thing without seeing stuff about Drake at the game. And I'm like, hey, you know, he's wearing the Del Curry jersey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his troll game is strong and shit. And I know, you know, but he has Steph and KD's numbers tattooed on his arm. So, which he covered up last night with a with a Nike like wristband. He covered him up.
Okay, why? Let me ask. I gotta stop you there. Why would you get somebody's jersey number?
He's groupie, man. I don't know. I mean, I know he's cool with those guys, but like
Vince
Carter,
I understand because he was like a crazy good Raptor.
You and I are cool, but I'm not getting your baseball jersey tattooed on my arm. You know,
especially like, if I don't play for the team that you like.
Yeah, I know.
Like you're a Dukie, right? Well, if I was a star for North Carolina for the Tar Heels in basketball, which was of course that's not in any universe will that ever happen or has ever happened. But you wouldn't get my number. If it was a North Carolina number, that's a weird thing to do.
That's Drake's whole thing is he's a flip flopper, and everyone knows it. And there's usually a Drake curse, as they've called it, you know, because whatever team jersey he ends up wearing, like usually they lose. There's like a big whole thing where even in last series, you know, he wore the series before he was wearing a Philadelphia Ben Simmons jersey, just to like do the curse, and then they ended up losing. So I mean, he can kind of poke fun at himself, but you know, it'll be interesting. I think the league at some point is going to be like, all right, man, chill the fuck out, like, because he's out there like basically on the court yelling.
Well, I think Silver already had a talk with him, and like the thing where he was like, you know, look, I'm not a big like fan guy. I used to be, Sam. I mean, you've probably been in the same room with me when I've like screamed at the TV and all that stuff. But you know, now I'm just like, what's the point? What's the point? And you're right. I think he is making it a little bit too much about himself and like being up and screaming at the players. Like I always hated when Spike Lee did it too. Like John with Reggie Miller and stuff. It's like, dude, just shut up. Because here's what I don't like about it is okay, let's say those old Pacers teams. Let's say I was Reggie Miller, okay? And I have Spike Lee, like, yelling at me. Like, that's the kind of stuff that me as, like, a competitor, that's the stuff that makes me focus in. And just, like,
oh,
I'm going to destroy you.
They're ready. Oh, I think they're ready. Like, they're ready to sit Drake down, to be honest with you. I think, you know.
Like, why are you fanning the flame? Like, why are you giving more bulletin board material? Like, can you imagine, Drake?
If it goes bad on this, like, I mean, he's going to catch a lot of heat.
Oh, it's going to.
You know, like, because, you know, now we have the social media. So, like, one picture gets posted, you know, in a billion places. Where before, you know, you had Spike Lee and the only thing you'd see it on was
Sports
maybe
Center,
a blip on SportsCenter. But then you'd see it on NBC. Like, you know, there wouldn't even be, like, you know, a newspaper picture of Spike Lee, because it would just be like, yeah, whatever, we only have so much space and time, we need to focus on the game. Now it's becoming like, all right, like, let's make a bigger deal out of all this other crap, because we have all this other content that we need to provide. And you know, the news cycle is so short now that we need to just pump stuff out there, and it's too much. It's annoying as shit, man.
Yeah. And he's not the only one, though. I mean, he's the only one, like, grabbing the coach and massaging his shoulders during a game, which I think is just completely inappropriate. Like, I would have bounced him. If I was Silver, like, I think they like the buzz and all that stuff. But for that, I would have bounced him.
You can't.
A game. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, I get it. There, it's like his coach and, you know, like, I get it. It wasn't, like, an opposing. But you know, it's going to be,
that should be a zero tolerance thing. He should have been suspended for a game.
Yeah.
Like as a fan.
So,
But there's this other guy there that I noticed in the Milwaukee series. There's this guy who shows up. He has gray hair. I think he sits under the basket and, wears really, really tight jeans. He's a heavier set guy, wears really tight jeans and Ed Hardy shirt. And he's up every time, like screaming and pumping his fist. And like, if a player goes up for a layup and gets under the basket, he'll stand up and scream at the player and all that. It's like, man, I used to do that stuff when I was 18. You know, I would go to games and do that when I was 18. Like, come on, man. Like,
I would never yell at some, you know, like I get hyped for Duke games and stuff, but I would never like yell at another player. Like, I just, like, imagine being a grown man and you're yelling at people that are, like, 20 years younger than you.
Right.
Like, you know, like, I get it. Like, if you want to stand and cheer, like, I totally understand that. And, like, but I can't imagine, like, yelling at, you know, people 20 years younger than you, like, that you have no connection, you know.
No connection with, right.
It's not like you're playing in the game and you're, like, hyped up. Like, no, you literally, they don't know who you are. you know, like, and you're screaming at them and making an ass out of yourself. Like,
that's it. Is exactly it, making an ass out of yourself. I just
and you're paying those top dollars for those seats. All that goes into their pockets. So who's the real winner?
Yeah, you know? Yeah, like, exactly. Not only that, but and that makes me wonder, right? Because this guy's there, you know, he has great seats and he's paying a lot of money for those seats. This guy, right? He's successful in whatever he's doing. Like, he's mm-hmm. making a lot of money. I mean, it's more likely that he made money, in my opinion, than inherited money, right?
Right.
So this guy's reporting to work, or maybe not. Maybe he's sold a business or something like that. But this guy is like probably a pretty functional person outside of that, and then he goes there and like this like hotshot kind of stuff. And I do think that some of the Drake stuff feeds into it. And I look, man, I like one of the things I love about living in Chicago is the teams love their teams. They go there and they go nuts. Like the Blackhawks have gone on a really nice run in the last 5 to 10 years here, and right. people like go crazy. They're up, they're standing, they're cheering, they're loud. I like that stuff. I love it, and that's something that you just don't get in Orlando. It's a different atmosphere. Like in cities that care, like if you go to the Yankees mm-hmm. game, they're up and screaming all game. Every time there's two strikes, everybody's standing up and cheering. That's great. I love that atmosphere. But this like this big shot mentality, man, is just oh my gosh, it drives me crazy. It just drives me crazy.
No, it's crazy, man. And usually when I go to the Orlando games, you know, you see like these, you know, these guys that. You could just tell they're douchebags, mm-hmm. you know, and yeah. they really are into like what they, you know, what they look like, and you know, but you could tell they're just they're little children,
jabronis,
you know, yeah, just complete douchebags, man. Tight jeans. They're usually overweight. Tight jeans. You know, maybe sunglasses on inside, or if not, they're. You know, on top of their head. Yeah.
I just realized you're describing me, so maybe maybe I need to look in the mirror. Tight jeans, a little overweight, sunglasses inside. That sounds familiar.
Man,
a little
in
too
the mirror.
Close to home.
Reevaluate yourself.
I do. Oh gosh, yeah. I need to remake myself. I don't own a Ed Hardy yet. I'm still making my own T-shirts. But I got a couple whoppers for you when I'm in Florida. I'll try to wear them. I got that Sweet Gorilla shirt made. You remember that one?
Oh yeah.
I got that made finally. I got a creamsicle shirt where I have a stencil of my dog.
You're supposed to make me one of those gorilla shirts.
Well, I wasn't. I can. There's no problem. I'll do it.
Well, send me the finish. I want to see what your shirt looks like.
Well, I'm gonna wear it when I'm in Florida, man.
I know, but I want to see a picture.
Let me find it. I'll send you a picture if it's not in the wash.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. No, man, it's good, and all you got to let me know is you need something that has some cotton, and just let me know what your favorite T-shirt maker is, and I'll get the T-shirt, and I'll send one your way, man. That's a good one, and you just wanted, like, plain black and white.
I'll pay for it, yeah. I want it black with a white graphic. Gildan, I don't know, whatever. Large?
Large is going to be too small for you because I wear large.
I don't know, man. I've been shredding lately, so.
Yeah, I've been bulking up.
Well,
bulking up everywhere, baby.
No, large would be good. What brand is it? Gildan?
I get Next Level. Not a sponsor of the show. I get Next Level shirts because I like them. They're light and you can work out. They're versatile, and especially if you go to Florida where it's going to be hot like crazy. So for you, I'd say like a Next Level extra large would be good. Because I wear a large, and it shrinks up to like, you know, a medium, maybe even a medium size. So you probably need
Next Level. All right. Yeah. Well.
What color you like? I could probably get a plain black. That's what I got. I got a plain black with like I fed in like a Milky Way galaxy type background because I like the bright pop. But you just wanted
yeah,
white.
I just want. Right? Yeah, man. I'm plain Jane, bro.
Let me see what I can do for you, buddy. If I can't, I don't know if I can get it done before I come into town. But
no worries. Well, then I'll try yours on. And I'll see what size I need.
There you go. You won't be able to fit into it. All right, man.
Yeah, I do have some long ass gorilla arms, so.
Yeah. Gorilla arms, gorilla shirt. There you go.
Yeah, man. What a show.
What a show. All right. Well, we're going to be probably, I think we'll be back into OTAs next week with the NFL, so probably have some more NFL news. And of course, we're going to be talking NBA Finals while that's gone. And then we're probably going to get right from NBA Finals right into the NBA draft because we really haven't even gotten into the what's his face. Why is his name escaping me? This is how irrelevant he is to me. I don't think he's going to be that great. Who's the big guy? Come on, the Duke guy.
Oh, Zion.
Zion, there you go. Yeah, we got to get into Zion to New Orleans which I actually like, but I want New Orleans to trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers for a king's ransom, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, hey, everybody out there, thanks for listening. Have a great week. Be good.
I'll be good.